Hosanna, a Fellowship of Christians.
Celebrate Resurrection Day together last year, did we? Let's ratchet this one up a few notches. It's good to see you. You know, Jesus talked a lot about believing. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, though they die, yet will they live. You know, the historical church in the 5th century felt that it was important to write a document, a statement of theological belief, to learn and to recite for followers of Christ. For those who didn't have Bibles, those who couldn't read, or they just wanted to understand a basic doctrine of Christian faith. And these foundational beliefs have stood the test of time over the centuries, and they've been passed along. They passed along faith in this resurrected Jesus and the life-changing power of his name. And I would like us to read that that Apostles' Creed together this morning. Let's read this together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Never win you over for your love. still make it easy. Your love's uncomplicated. You love me just the way I am. So I stand before you. I'm totally surrendered. Jesus, have your way in me. Ooh, ooh, Jesus, have your way in my brokenness, my loneliness, and the secrets you see, my deepest thoughts, my hidden wars. God, you see right through me, even when I'm overthinking. Somehow, you still love me simply. Your love's uncomplicated. You love me just the way I am. So I stand. Have your way in me. Ooh, ooh, Jesus, have your way in me. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I can sing over.
search the world, it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, the treasures of faith, never enough. You came along, put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love.
Yeah.
because he lives.
I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I worth the living just because he lives.
So you all sound too good. We got to sing that again.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear gone, because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives.
I know.
And life worth the living just because he lives.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Say hello to somebody or wave to somebody.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. We're celebrating the resurrection, thanks, Jeff, the resurrection of Jesus. But we're also celebrating the resurrection of what he done in us, right? It's good to see all of you this morning. Hello, friends and Hosanna family online. It's good to have you joining us this morning. You know, we had a powerful Holy Week here at Hosanna this week, starting on Friday with our Good Friday walkthrough of Stations of the Cross, different things. We had 10 stations set up in here in the auditorium, and over 20 people came to experience that. And everyone who walked out the doors said how meaningful and powerful it was. We also had 4 people from the community join us, which was really pretty cool. The one lady, just before she left, she was so moved, she gave us a donation. That was just really, truly beautiful. And then this morning, about 30-some people braved the cold at 6:30 this morning. There's a picture. Watching, oh, it was beautiful to watch the sunrise and to hear the monologues and the accounts of when Jesus died and then afterwards when he was risen. It really was a truly beautiful sunrise service. And now here we are together for our Easter service. I have a couple announcements for you. Next Sunday, a new adult class will be starting. Tony Blair is going to be teaching that. It's called The Big Picture, an overview of the Bible told as a single story. That's going to be meeting from 11:15 to 12:15 over to my left here in the fellowship hall, but also online. So if you would like to join the class, you can register online on our website or email Tony at tony@hosannalytics.org. Yes, you can do that. Also, just want to remind you, check our online bulletin out. It has all the information that you need there as well. And then this Wednesday, April the 7th, from 6:30 to 7:30, we're going to be holding our online virtual prayer meeting. And I have to say, since we started that back up again, it's been a small group. But boy, has it been powerful. I'm truly been blessed by the prayer and the support that our people give to all of us and to our community. The last prayer meeting, I think, spoke to me the most because one of our members, unbeknownst to me, sang a closing to us online. I mean, it was so moving. So, you know, don't you think prayer meeting, I don't know how to pray, I don't want to pray out loud. It's not that you have to be online with us and pray out loud. Sometimes sitting in silence is prayer itself. So join us this Wednesday from 6:30 to 7:30 on Zoom. Check your email on Tuesday. You'll be getting an email about it then. And with that, I'm going to invite Tony up. You want to use my mic or are you using your own?
I'm up.
Okay.
This is just a quick one. It is really good to see so many of you here. Some of you I haven't seen in over a year. For those of you online, this room is full. It's wonderful. Part of that is because it's Easter, but part of that is that with increased vaccinations, people are getting more and more comfortable about being out in public, which is, yay, wonderful. Which means that we've got to decide what the next stage of our time together needs to look like. A year ago, we were at this same place. So what we did was send out a survey to you all. Got a lot of responses, and I'll tell you, it was wonderfully helpful. Got a sense of where you were, and our primary desire is that we honor each other. And that survey helped us to do that. And so we ended up with a phase in which we were entirely online, and then a phase since last July where we've been doing what we've been doing, and now we need to figure out what the next step looks like. So we're going to send another survey. So I just want to give you a heads up. Look for that in your email, hopefully this week, hopefully in the next few days, if I can get my act together. And I just want to give you a heads up, everybody online, please, please give us your feedback on that. It'd be really helpful. Thanks. Special thing today for the kids from, how'd that Christmas song go? From 1 to 95 or 99 or something. Anyway, Kelly Kirkwenzel, where are you? Oh, there she is right in front of me, has a story for us. Pay attention.
Good morning, Hosanna. It's good to be in front of you all and see so many people here today. This is a story for all of us from, I don't know how that song goes either, from 1 to 99, I think. But because it's been a while since there has been many children in church, I'd like to invite them to come up. We have chairs in the front here for them so they can see the pictures real closely. So come on down. Come on, Ryan. Sophie, you too. I'll call y'all out. Claire, Mara, Javin, come on down. I think we have enough chairs. You can see him from there, Javin. You don't have to come up if you don't want to. It's all good. You can just... How you guys doing? Wow. How you guys doing? Let me tell you, we've been having Zoom Kidventure, and it's a lot more active than this. You should see us on Zoom with, you know, 10, 11 kids. It gets a little zoomy with them. But anyway, you guys, I got a good story for you, and this is really a story for all of us, and it's perfect for today, so... I want to share it with you. It's called You Are Special by Max Lucado. And I'm just going to jump right in here. It's called the Wemmicks. The Wemmicks were small wooden people carved by a woodworker named Eli. His workshop sat on a hill overlooking their village. And each Wemmick was different. Some had big noses. Others had large eyes. Some were tall and others were short. Some wore hats and others wore coats. But all were made by the same carver, and all lived in the village. And all day, every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Each Wemmick had a box of golden star stickers and a box of gray dot stickers. Up and down the streets, all over the city, people spent their days sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones, those with smooth wood and fine paint, what do you think they got? They always got stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint chipped, the Wemmicks gave dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. Still others knew big words or could sing pretty songs. Everyone gave them stars. Some Wemmicks had stars all over them. Every time they got a star, it made them feel so good. It made them want to do something else and get another star. Others, though, could do little. So what do you think they got? They got dots. Well, Punchinello was one of these. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And when he fell, the others would gather around and give him dots. Sometimes when he fell, his wood got scratched so that people would give him more dots. Then when he would try to explain why he fell, he would say something silly, and the Wemmicks would give him even more dots. Well, after a while, he had so many dots that he didn't want to go outside. I don't know where the slides are here, but can you see this picture of the Wemmick with all the dots? Oh, they're coming back. See, he's got all these dots on him. And he had so many that he didn't want to go outside. He was afraid he would do something dumb, such as forget his hat or step in the water, and then people would give him another dot. In fact, he had so many dots, he had so many gray dots, that some people would come up and give him one for no reason at all. He deserves a lot of dots, the wooden people would agree with one another. He's not a good wooden person. After a while, Punchinello believed them. I'm not a good Wemmick, he would say. The few times he went outside, he hung around the other Wemmicks who had lots of dots. And you know what? He felt better around them. One day, Punchinello met a Wemmick who was unlike any he had ever met. She had no dots and no stars. She was just wooden. Her name was Lucia. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers. It's just that the stickers didn't stick. Some of the Wemmicks admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would run up and give her a star, but it would fall off. Others would look down on her for having no stars, so they would give her a dot, but guess what? It wouldn't stay either. That's the way I want to be, thought Punchinello. I don't want anyone's marks. So he asked the stickerless Wemmick how she did it. It's easy, Lucia replied. Every day, I go see Eli. Eli? Punchinello asked. Yes, Eli, the woodcarver. I sit in the workshop with him. Why? Why don't you find out for yourself? Go up the hill. He's there. And with that, the Wemmick who had no stickers turned and skipped away. But will he want to see me? Punchinello cried out. But Lucia didn't hear. So Punchinello went home. He sat near a window and watched the wooden people as they scurried around giving each other stars and dots. It's not right, he muttered to himself. And he decided to go see Eli. Punchinello walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill and stepped into the big shop. His wooden eyes widened at the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on his tiptoes to see the top of the workbench. A hammer was as long as his arm. Punchinello swallowed hard. I'm not staying here. And he turned to leave. Then he heard his name. Punchinello! The voice was deep and strong. Punchinello stopped. Punchinello, how good to see you. Come, let me have a look at you. Punchinello turned slowly and looked at the large beaded craftsman. You know my name? The little Wemmick asked. Of course I do. I made you. Eli stooped down and picked him up and set him on the bench. The maker spoke thoughtfully as he looked at the gray dot. Looks like you've been given some bad marks. I didn't mean to, Eli. I really tried hard. Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. You don't? Nope, and you shouldn't either. Who are they to give stars or dots? They're Wemmicks just like you. What they think doesn't matter, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think, and I think you're pretty special. Punchinello laughed. Me special? Why would that be? I can't walk fast. I can't jump. My paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you? Eli looked at Punchinello, put his hands on those small wooden shoulders, and spoke very slowly. Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me. Punchinello had never had anyone look at him like this, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say. Every day I've been hoping you'd come, Eli explained. I came because I met someone who had no marks, said Punchinello. I know, she told me about you. But why don't the stickers stay on her? The maker spoke softly, because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them. What? The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers. I'm not sure I understand. Eli smiled. You will, but it will take some time. You've got a lot of marks. For now, just come to see me every day, and let me remind you how much I care. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the floor. Remember, Eli said as the Wemmick walked out the door, you are special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, you know what? I think he really means it. And as he thought that, a dot fell to the ground. What a story for Easter. What a story for Easter. There's a lot of meaning in that story. And we get to, the kids and I, and Rinny's going to help me out today, we get to have class today. We're going to talk more about this and do some things that help us realize how special we were. Okay? And Tony and Joanne are going to share that with all of you. So what a special story for Easter. So I hope you enjoyed that. I'll invite Joanne and Tony up. Kids, you can head out to the lobby, and happy Easter, everyone.
Thanks, Kelly. Happy Resurrection Day. It's the best day ever. Wait a minute. Happy Resurrection Day. Okay. So the question is, why are we including this particular story in our service this morning? Because in a planning meeting a long, long time ago, in a star, what is it, Star Wars? At a galaxy far, far away. We just do a lot of brainstorming. And I remembered in that meeting that my first year of the practicum in my master's program, my spiritual direction supervisor kept talking to me about how hard I was on myself and all the perfectionistic expectations that I was weighing myself down with. And you know what? It just didn't compute. That was like a while ago in my life. But at that point, I could not comprehend how I could be any other way or why I would even want to be any other way. So we went through the whole first year. In the second year of the practicum, I went in to my supervisor, overprepared as always for a supervision session. I sat down like I always did. I handed her my reflection paper and my verbatim, like I always did, which took hours to complete, by the way. She took them, glanced at them, put them down, and said she would read them later. And inside I'm going, what? What? What is happening? And she said, no, I want us to do something different this time. Of course, anxiety gripped me. As she leaned over to her bookshelf, she took an illustrated book off her shelf, Max Lucado's You Are Special, the big one, the kids' book with all the illustrations. And she proceeded to read it to me with the book facing me, you know, like, so I could see the pictures while she was reading, and she's, like, peeking over and turning the pages. I'm like, what is going on? When she finished, she closed the book on her lap and smiled and said that our session was over and that perhaps Grace would do the rest for me and told me to leave. Do you know, I wish I could say that I skipped out of the room like Punchinello did and that a dot fell off. No, it really did take quite a while for Grace to outwork in me because I just couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong, and that had been my life existence to that point, is try to find out what is wrong with me and fix it so I could just be normal. I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong, and I kept freaking out because, you know, I thought I needed to know in order so I could work harder and harder and harder to fix what was wrong. Glad to say, in time, I woke up to realize just how long and just how hard I'd been working to try to get some stars from others in order to offset the massively oppressive number of dots that I'd stuck all over myself.
I got a lot of dots when I was young, too, mostly from other people. Like Punchinello, I just didn't fit in when I was a kid. I was socially awkward, a bit short, a bit overweight, a bookworm, not exactly the ideal young boy type in Cozy Town where I grew up. But I found out that adults were quick to hand out stars if a kid was particularly bright, if they got good grades, and I did. And so the grown-ups would try to encourage that by giving me more stars for good grades, and it worked. I tried really hard to make sure they noticed me more and more and proudly collected more and more stars to cover up my dots. One day at the end of sixth grade, I got excited. There was a big assembly at school where they were going to give a trophy to the number one student in the grade, in each grade. But they gave that sixth grade trophy to Don Foley instead of me. Isn't it interesting that I still remember the name? I was so jealous. Still am. No, I was so jealous, and I vowed that day that next year my name would be called when that assembly was held. And I worked hard. I worked so hard all through seventh grade to get the highest possible grades. And when that next assembly was held a year later, guess what? Victory! They called my name. They had a trophy with my name inscribed on it. Oh, and I proudly accepted that, put it on a nice little shelf at home, licked it every day. No, I just, but I was excited. This is seventh grade, you know. And then they did this assembly at the end of every year. And so that fed something in me. So I worked real hard, and I got another trophy at the end of eighth grade and ninth grade and 10th and 11th and 12th. And I was named a high school valedictorian.
Yeah.
Stars galore. Wow, isn't this awesome? Winning those stars mattered so much to me that I became obnoxious to my classmates. Who decided to do what kids do, and they gave me more dots. So I completed the spiral. I responded by working even harder and harder to win even more stars from teachers and other adults if I could. And the more stars I got, the more dots I got, which made me try to earn more stars and so on. And you know what this looks like after a while. It was exhausting and ultimately futile. Because no matter how many stars I earned, it was never enough to overcome the shame of all those dots.
Yeah. So how about you? Do either of our stories feel at all like some version of your stories? Of course, the details differ from one person to another. But what we're talking about and what that story that Kelly read is talking about, it's a shared human experience, isn't it? It seems to be the way that we humans function in relationship to each other when we're left on our own. So what we want to do right now is pause for just a few moments to let you reflect a bit on your own stories, your own stars, in your own dots. First, we're going to ask, hopefully you got a little packet when you came in, into the room today, and I'm dropping them all on the floor. I'm going to invite you to take the paper star that you were given when you came in, and the little pencil, and if you didn't get one, raise your hand, and one will be brought to you. If you're online, just get a piece of paper and draw a star on it, okay?
It just occurred to me, we have this story about the harmful effects of giving stars and dots, so what do? When people come in, we give you stars and dots.
Right. Yes, but there's, like, method in our madness, as Hamlet would say. Yes. Yes. Okay. On the white side, you can write. And we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to just give us a few moments of grace here so that we can open our eyes to see something about the star story of your lives, of our lives. Some questions for you. How have you tried to earn stars in your life? What have you been doing? What kinds of stars have you accumulated along the way? Which ones did others give you? Which stars did you give yourself? Which stars have you given even unconsciously to other people? What do you look for in people that you reward with stars? Just take a few moments and think, and just write a few things that you're noticing. Write on your star some of what you're seeing. All right, we'll just give you a few moments to do that. As you're doing that, I'll say, spiritually speaking, the stars represent works. They represent the things that we try to do in our own efforts to try to win approval. Thing is, we're trying to get approval from other people, but ultimately, it's what we do to try to get approval from God. These are the ways that most of us try to feel good about ourselves. You know, and especially when we don't believe in or we can't fully trust the grace of God. Right? Okay. I see you writing on your stars. Give you just a few more moments here. Now I'm going to invite you to take out the dot. It's also a gray dot in your packet. And of course, as we saw in the story, the dots represent shame. That's the story about how we not only do some things wrong, this is the story about how we are something wrong. So take that paper dot. Again, if you need one, raise your hand. If you're online, you can get another piece of paper. You can turn over your star paper and just draw a big dot on it. And we're going to just pause for a few more moments. You've been thinking about your star story. Now think a bit about your shame story, your dot story. And it's the same questions. Consider the same questions about the dots that you've accumulated in your life, the kinds of dots that others have stuck on you. You know, what kind of dots do you stick on others, consciously or even unconsciously? What about the dots that you stick on yourself? Write on your dot some of what you're seeing. And as we move along, you know, through the rest of this service, feel free, as things occur to you, feel free to add things to your stars, your star story, your dot story, as we move along.
You know, this star and dot thing, people try to do it to Jesus too. Mm-hmm. Ordinary people try to pin lots of stars on him, mostly for his miracles. Oh, that was awesome, Jesus. Do it again. Feed me, Seymour. Give us some more. Give us some more. And those he threatened, the legalists who were in power, well, they tried to pin dots on him all the time. I mean, that was how they had him crucified, right? It was the largest, ugliest, meanest dot they could give. Mm-hmm. But just like Lucia, none of them stuck to him. Not the stars and not the dots. Nor did he give them away. He refused to put dots on people that everybody else dotted in his society, like lepers, that everybody would give the unclean dot to. Mm-hmm. Or Gentiles, the don't belong here dot. Mm-hmm. Or outright sinners, the not good enough dot. He affirmed people, but not in the way that put a star on them. It wasn't about whether they lived up to his expectations. He affirmed them just because he loved them. Mm-hmm. How was that possible? Isn't this star and dot thing a game we have to play in order to win love and approval in this world? Jesus said no. And he did so because he knew some things that the star givers and the dot dotters didn't.
Mm-hmm. First thing Jesus knew, who he was, and he knew who his father was. If you'll remember in the story, Eli the Wemmick Maker, he represents our Creator God, the God who's infinitely more loving than any human story could ever even begin to describe. Because love is not simply something God does. As we know well here at Hosanna, love is who God is. Scripture tells us, 1 John 4:16, that God is love. It's the essence, the identity, the core of the being of God is love. And the God who is love created humanity individually and together by love, in love, and for love. God created humanity in God's own likeness and image to love as God loves. To become love as God is love. You want to know why we're here? That's why we're here. To love as God loves, to become love as God is love, and to share that love in safety and trust with God and with each other. But like the Wemmicks, we turned away from the one who so lovingly created us And we chose to live in a way that looked nothing like the love that we were created to become in the world. We made choices which were anything but loving. And we lived with the consequences of our actions. And yet, even so, even from the very beginning, God never shamed us. God came to invite us out of hiding, to take responsibility for our choices, for our actions, and be reconciled with him and be reconciled with each other. And when we refused to do that, when we refused to love like God, and you know that's the essence, historically in Christianity, this is the essence of sin. The essence of sin is not simply that we're breaking rules and we're doing things wrong in our behavior. That's the fruit. It comes from a root. And the root of sin in us is the refusal to love and be loved as God loves. It's a refusal of love. That's the heart of what sin is. And we refused it. We sinned. We refused to love like God. But God continued to be the love that God is. Like, what did God do? God came. He covered our nakedness. He didn't curse us. He protected us from eating from the tree of life and then being stuck in this condition eternally. And you know, God never left us. No matter what we did, God never left us. God went with us out of the garden into this now broken world. We kept turning away, didn't we? Read the Old Testament. We just kept turning away. Look at our lives. We just kept turning away. And still, the God who is love never gave up on us. We give up on ourselves. God never gives up on us. No, you know what God chose to do? Okay, this isn't working. They're not coming out of hiding yet. I keep trying to come to them again and again and again and again and again, so many ways. They're not seeing me. So I think what I'm gonna go and I'm gonna be with them. God didn't give up on us. God chose to come to be with us. Do you know Easter happened only because of Christmas? The God who had made humanity in his likeness and image allowed himself to be made in the likeness and image of humanity. Did you hear that? The God who made us in God's likeness and image chose to allow himself to be made in our likeness and image. The invisible God became visible. The immortal one became mortal. The all-powerful God became a vulnerable baby named Jesus to show us who God really is. Love. To show us who God really created us to be. Beloved. Love. Lover. Beloved. Jesus lived this love relationship with the Father right in front of our eyes so that our eyes and our hearts would be opened to see God as Jesus did, to know God as Jesus did, to want, and so that we would want to share in that same love relationship with God that Jesus experienced, to know that we know deep down in the core of our being that we already have the love that we're longing for from others.
Jesus knew some things.
Yep.
He also knew who other people were.
Yep.
And he knew how his Father then saw them.
Yeah.
See, here's the problem. Most people have been taught that God is the ultimate star giver and dot daughter. God gets used by dot and star people. So much bad religion, that's a phrase that I use so often, has looked an awful lot like the Wemmix. And so why are we not surprised? Many people read the Bible to learn how to avoid the dots and win the stars. And they think that's the essence of religion. That's what we're doing here this morning is what they believe. Mm-hmm. And they expect to find Jesus giving dots and stars all the time. Isn't that what God does? Isn't he the representative? Mm-hmm. But he refused to do that when he was here on earth, and he still refuses to do that.
Yes.
And he wants his people to learn how not to do that as well. He sees through all of the neediness and all the judgmentalism, all the pain, the stuff that causes us to keep doing that.
Yes.
He sees into their hearts, into our hearts, and he responds with compassion. Why? Because he knows. He knows their truest, most original, their eternal identity. Who's underneath all of the stars and the dots? Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Somebody asked me just this week about it. I'm not her pastor, I'm her client. But she had been taught that we were born with dots already attached by God.
Yep.
And she was beginning to question that. She knew I was a pastor. Hey, what do you think about that? I'm glad you asked. Mm-hmm. So we talked about Genesis 1 and how the first man and the first woman were made not with dots.
Yes.
Were made in the image and the likeness of God himself. And how when God looked at them, what did he say?
They looked
very good.
Yes.
Very good. Already. No dots, no stars there at the beginning. Just a reflection of himself. Pure and beautiful, holy, loved.
Yep.
And yes, I told her because she was wondering. Yeah, we all do choose, as Joanne was saying. We choose to turn away. We choose to sin. But even then, God doesn't look at us with disgust, as many people think. He doesn't see us as hard creatures whose presence he detests. That's what Joanne was just saying. He sees us as so deeply loved that he would rather join us in our broken world.
Yes.
And that's who Jesus was, the embodied love of the Father, sent here to brush aside our dots and stars so we can once again shine forth with all the beauty that we were created for to begin with.
Yeah, it's good news, isn't it? Really good news. It's good news that we all need to hear again and again and again. And it's the good news that we need to be sharing, not only on Easter, but every day. So Jesus knew some things. He knew who he was. He knew who the Father was. He knew who others were and how his Father saw them. And third, because that's true, Jesus knew he was free. And he knew that we can be free too. Because Jesus was confident that he was known and loved by his Father, Jesus didn't need to seek approval from anybody else. Jesus was free from needing others' applause or trophies. And also, he was free from taking on other shame, like I did. See, Jesus had no need to compete with anybody else. He had no need to compare himself with anybody else. He valued and he celebrated his uniqueness and the uniqueness of every single human being. All of us are different. Why do we try to be like one another? That's impossible. It was not meant to be that way. We're to be celebrating each other and celebrating our differences because each one of us is one small reflection of an infinite God. The more we're able to receive each other and celebrate each other, the more of God we're able to see and celebrate. Right? See, he was free. Jesus was free. He was free from the tyranny of stars and dots. He was free from other people's opinions and other people's shoulds and other people's oughts. He was free simply to be himself and to do what he was called to do. So as Tony said earlier, because Jesus was free from the stars and the dots, they wouldn't stick to him. And the good news, folks, is they don't have to stick to us either. Because as Paul says in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We are no longer slaves to sin or anything else. We are free, and it's for freedom that Christ set us free. And we're free because he rose from the dead. Period. Right? I've said this to several people this week. It's interesting. Tony and I have had some very interesting conversations with folks this week. But so much of the theme comes back to one thing. It's what Paul said. If Christ hasn't risen from the dead, we are most foolish of all people. Because we're staking our lives on a lie. See, he rose from the dead. And because he is alive now, because he loves us now, because we already have everything that we need for this life, for life and godliness, we're told in the scriptures, because we have him and his love. We're as free as he was in the Father's love. Does that make sense? So just like Punchinello, he went to Eli, right? Because he'd met Lucia, and he wanted to learn the secret of Lucia's freedom. So Punchinello went to Eli. Guess what? We can go to God, and we can learn that the secret's the same. That when we decide that what God thinks about us is more important than what anyone else thinks, all of our stickers are going to begin falling off. Because the stickers only stick if you let them. The stickers only stick if they matter to you. But the more you trust God's love, the less you care about the stickers. And that's when life becomes really fun. See, it took Punchinello a while to understand what Eli told him, right? Just like it took me a lot longer to understand what my supervisor was trying to tell me. But one day, little carved Punchinello believed in his heart that just maybe the story is true. And that day, that old story lost its power over him. Maybe today can be that day for you. In recognizing Eli for who he really was, Punchinello's eyes were opened to see the bigger story, the real story, the true transformational story of who his maker truly was and who he had been truly created to be.
There is an Easter story just like this.
Yep.
Later in that same day that Jesus rose from the dead, two of his disciples left Jerusalem to walk back home to their home in Emmaus, about 6 miles away. And on the road, they ran into a stranger. And as was custom at that time, they chatted a bit, exchanging news, no newspapers in those days. And this man, to their amazement, apparently hadn't heard anything about what was going on over the weekend, about the death of Jesus, or about those rumors flying around on this day that he had risen from the dead. So they excitedly told him all that had happened. And then, to their amazement again, the stranger started telling them what their story meant. He started quoting scriptures and making connections, and they listened with increasing interest because what he was saying was finally making sense of so much to them. The Gospel of Luke tells us what happens next. Mm-hmm. When they came to Emmaus, he acted, the stranger, as if he were going on ahead. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. We want to talk some more. It's nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. Mm-hmm. After he took a seat at the table with them, he took the bread.
Yep.
He blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Sound familiar?
Uh-huh.
It did to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him finally. But he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and when he explained the scriptures for us?" Of course they were. Mm-hmm. In other words, shouldn't we have recognized them long before now? See, just like Punchinello, it took a while for these disciples to understand what they were hearing. Mm-hmm. To finally understand the bigger story, the real story. That sets hearts on fire.
Yep.
That Jesus was not merely telling them, but living, and actually, literally, reliving in front of them. And when they did, their eyes were opened in recognition, opened to see who he truly was, and opened also to see who they truly were. Who were they? Loved. Free.
Yeah.
Now, here's where it gets even better. For apologies to Max Lucado, the story about the Wemmicks doesn't end where that book did.
Yeah.
Think about it. In the book, Punchinello is invited to see Eli going forward, only in Eli's workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how some people see the spiritual life. It's to be spent in church or some other holy place where God hangs out.
Yeah.
But God did something far better than that in Christ, didn't he?
Yes.
He entered our story. He came to our town. He joined us in our lives. He actually became a Wemmick with us in order to show us how to be as free as the Creator had always intended.
Mm-hmm.
He has come to us, and through His Spirit, yes, He remains with us. So I want you to understand something, friends. This is not just a pep talk. This is not just, hey, don't let what those people say bother you. That's helpful. We need to hear that once in a while. But this is a much deeper and better story than just that. This freedom is a result of full transformation.
Yes.
And full transformation is made possible not by a pep talk, but made possible only by what Christ did for us in his death and his resurrection.
Yes, so that each of us can become a version of Lucia. And her name, by the way, Lucia, it means light. Didn't Jesus tell us, and I love the Message version of this in Matthew 5, you're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Every one of us, see, all of this good news, all of this freedom, it's not simply for ourselves. It's so we can be Lucias in the world for others. We were created, we were not created only to experience unconditional love and acceptance and keep it all to ourselves. No, we are called to live it out loud in front of others, as Lucia did for Punchinello, so that they'll want to be free too.
And so that they too can follow Jesus into resurrection.
Yep.
Which means putting to death that whole old wooden wemmick identity and coming to life, fully human at last. Well, yep. Does this sound familiar? Like maybe another story?
Yes.
Where a wooden boy named Pinocchio
puppet
is transformed into a real boy?
Yeah.
Freed from every string that it once controlled him?
Yeah.
Isn't it time that we become real boys and girls?
Yeah.
And it isn't a time that we tell everybody else out there who's living in those wooden identities that they can too.
Yeah.
By the way, last year when we were cleaning out stuff in our attic in our old house preparing to move, I came across a whole box of trophies. Hadn't seen them in a while. It was good to revisit and then to throw them out in the trash.
Yeah. Yes.
Didn't need them anymore.
Yes.
Didn't need to cart them to the new house. Stars don't stick to me like they used to.
Yes. Yes. Worship team is going to come back up. We're going to prepare to close our service. We're going to celebrate communion together in just a moment. But first, we want to extend an invitation to you all. And we want to extend this invitation in three movements. First, we're going to invite you to bring your dots and your stars and what you've written on them up to the cross, which is now moving to the front. We're going to invite you to bring those dots and those stars, hopefully, that have begun falling off of you, and lay them here at the foot of the cross in exchange for God's grace and unconditional love in Christ. It's symbolic of what's already true in your life. But we are inviting you to come and leave the stars, the dots, at the cross, because at the cross is where 2,000 years ago, Jesus removed them from you permanently. Then after you lay down your stars and your dots free, take a flower from the cross to symbolize the brand new life that you've received through Jesus' resurrection. And then come over to this table and take a communion set of elements and take that back with you to your seat. And we're just going to invite you not to partake of it yet. We're going to do that together in just a few minutes. If you're watching at home, offer your stars and your dots to Jesus in whatever way is most meaningful to you. Just let them go somehow. Dispose of them. And then get something, you know, some bread, a cracker, something to drink that will serve as communion bread and cup for you. So we invite you all here in the room. come. Be sensitive to distancing, but come as the worship team plays.
Dark and all alone, growing comfortable. Are you too scared to move? Walk out of this tomb, buried underneath the lies that you believe. Safe and sound, stuck in the ground, too lost to be found. You're just asleep. It is time to leave. Come on, rise up. Take a breath, you're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? You're brand new, power and death couldn't hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? Your name, the thing that filled your veins, was more than blood, the kind of love that washes sins away. Now the door is open wide, and the stone's been rolled aside. The old is gone, the light has gone, so come on and rise up. Take a breath, you're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave? You're brand new. Power just couldn't hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? Lazarus, like Lazarus. Out from the grave like Lazarus.
Calling us to walk out of the dark. He's giving us resurrected hearts.
He's calling us to walk out of the dark. He's giving us new resurrected hearts. So come on and rise up. Take a breath, you're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like
Lazarus.
just as I am. I come to thee, but you are mine. Save me just as I am. Just as I am.
To stand next to two Sean's, I'm in between two Sean's.
We come to communion with eyes wide open, like the two at the table in Emmaus. And we ask that in the presence of our risen Lord, we would feel our hearts on fire with love, like theirs were. This is Christ's table, and that means that all are welcome here. At this table, you don't have to look a certain way, you don't have to dress a certain way, or perform a certain way. You don't have to believe exactly what we believe or what the person next to you believes. You only have to come just as you are, risking that the one that you long for has already found you.
Yep.
That the love you desire is already yours. That the life you were born to live is already awaiting you.
Mm-hmm.
In Christ, who rose from the dead so that you might live in resurrection. On earth, here and now, yes. As it is in heaven.
Yes. Christ, who before the universe was created. Christ, who was foretold by the prophets and longed for by the people. Christ, who was born in a manger and baptized in the Jordan, who calmed storms, healed the sick, and raised the dead. Christ, who fed us all with word and with loaves and fishes. Christ, who saved us with a cross and an empty tomb. Christ, who has always been with us and will never abandon us, loving, risen Christ. It is with you and because of you and in celebration of you that we share in this victorious communion this morning. So come, Holy Spirit, come. Bless us all as we eat and drink at this table of faith, that our eyes may be opened wider and wider, and that we may recognize the risen Christ with and within us always. Amen.
The morning of his resurrection, the women went to his tomb, and they found that the stone was rolled away, and his tomb was empty. And so this morning, we remember the empty tomb. We remember the story that led up to it. And so we symbolically, with them, we break bread, and we lift the cup, and we give thanks for everything that Jesus did, which was love for us. You can peel back that top layer for those of you that are in the building.
Okay.
He says...
I need three hands. Here, I'm going to put this here.
Okay. I will do mine in a minute. He says, this is my body.
We're to laugh on Easter, right?
Communion has such a different feel on Easter, doesn't it, than...
Help?
Than on Good Friday.
Oh, I'm excited. I figured it out.
There. Oh. She dropped her dot.
No. Okay. 30-second rule.
This is my body, if you got yours out of the packet. Broken and raised for you. Eat with joy for your own resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And
my dots keep falling away, Tony. Perfectionistic expectations, not so much.
And this cup is a cup of my blood, he said, through which you become brand new. Old things have passed away, even stars and dots.
Yes.
Behold, all things have become new. Yes. Drink with thanksgiving for your new life.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Christ, to your table we've come. At your table we've been fed. From your table we will sing your glory as Easter people.
Yes.
Giving thanks for your saving love, for your holy freedom, for your glorious life, and your unending joy. You are so, so good to us.
Yes, 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 yes.
I wonder if we could stand up together.
It is so good.
Amen. Be really slick this week. Don't let anything stick to you, all right? Have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Amen.
Covered in sin and shame.